We're going to be reading in Matthew 5 this morning. Should be 1 through 18. Give them time to pull it up just a second. Thank everybody for being in the house of the Lord this morning. What a wonderful thing it is just to be here.
Amen.
And to come and join around the Word of God as it comes forth to us and feeds us. Just like to say a word of prayer before we get started and speak to the author this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house and come gather around your word, Lord, and to hear your word and feed upon your word, Lord God, that we may grow. Father, that you said you didn't want children, and we know you don't. You want full-grown men and women, Lord, to serve your word, Lord, and to be your word. We ask, Father, you forgive us of our sins and bless all the ones down there in Sunday school classes and bless Brother Dale's today as he is preparing to bring your word and just let him speak those words that you placed upon his heart, come across those lips of clay you made, Lord. Bless our ears today that we can hear your word, Father, that work can just fall down where it needs to be because, Lord, the only way this temple can be built in us is by us taking in the word and becoming the word. We ask now, Father, that you bless each one that, again that's here today and Father, bless those that couldn't make it here today. Whatever the hindrance was, Father, you know what it is, and just touch and bless each one. And we thank you for all the healings for Brother Dick and Brother Al there, Lord, and just lift each one of them up, Father. We ask these things and pray in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, as we open your word. You just come on the scene now and reveal your word to us. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him.
And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying,
Blessed are the poor in spirit, and their heart, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake.
Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they are prosperous.
Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to cast out and to be trodden unto under foot of men.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth it light unto all that are in the house. Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Amen. And you may be seated.
Love those beatitudes. And, you know, if you take that word, it's you have to be in the right attitude for you to understand that. Amen. You have to be that attitude that he spoke of. I'm always reminding my children of those blessings that are just right there in the word if you just take him at his word. Amen. Let's turn to page 24 in the Spiral Songbook.
sunshine or rain.
We're going to see our King. No more
Let's turn to page 166 in the Spiral Songbook. A happy day thou be when that gathering, that great gathering unto him, amen. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the measure right and blessed, he'll prepare us a place. Oh, if we all went to
get to heaven.
We can see him in his word. We can see him in each other. But what a day when you see him face to face. Amen. Let's change the order of the service. The brother comes out. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Promised in the word that we'll see him. We'll see him, so we're promised it, so we can depend on that. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelations 10, and then we'll drop back to Ephesians 3. Revelations 10, Ephesians 3. All of the youth, now this announcement, the children, all youth, please come up into the sanctuary at 12:45 to practice singing, okay? Practice the song. All right, all of the youth. So just make sure you do that. And, man, we really had a good time yesterday. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was a real good time to, you know, and all. And starting at 3 o'clock yesterday and wind up at 8 o'clock. So we had a pretty good day. Pretty good time, you know, to be able to fellowship together and to, you know, to participate, the children and all of them participating in all of their doing. Amen. Good to see our young lady back there with us today. Now, she's not a visitor. She's been here for years. She's just been absent for a little while. But good to see you, sis. Okay. Good to see you. Amen. But we did. We had a wonderful time yesterday. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The children got to participate in a lot of different things, and we got to participate in questions and answers and things. And, so it turned out real good, I thought. Amen. It was a real good time, you know, in the Lord. Amen. We got the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday at Brother Longora's. So that'll be that one. And let's see, anything else coming up real quick? We've got, we got a whack of shoulder coming up this Tuesday. So just pray for us. It's not a bad thing. It's just an outpatient laparoscopic thing or what you call it. And they just go in and take out and do what they got to do. But just pray that the Lord would take care of that and let everything be all right. I don't worry about it. It's all right. Okay, so anything else? Any announcement?
Wednesday night.
I'm missing it, so okay.
Way back up.
It's pointing in the back like there, but I, okay. All right, we're glad to have our sister with us back there. We say to you, welcome. You always get a welcome here when you come, and then two times you're just part of us. So we're sorry we didn't see you. There's so many heads in the way because I couldn't even figure out who was waving at what. Amen. But remember that. Okay. And remember now, the Lord willing, that Brother Luis will be ministering this coming Wednesday. Then next Sunday, Wade will be taking, the Lord willing, both services because I'll be kind of under the weather for a little bit. I can at least wave at him and point. That's we can do that part, but that'll be all right. The Lord will take care of it. Okay. Oh, okay. It's not like you're going to have your arm whacked off and, you know, and everything, all of that. It's just a little surgery in there. Okay. All right. Revelations 10 and Ephesians 1. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your grace and your love. Thank you for your kindness unto us. And we pray, Lord, that you would just open our eyes to thine understanding, that we may walk in the light of your love and be led by your grace, because grace is all that we have need of. It's sufficient for everything. Just have your way now. Come and speak to us. Bless those that are not here. Remember the sick among us. And, Lord, we pray that you just bless our visitor there, to let their understanding of seeing what we're trying to do and how we're trying to preach Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and always to be the same. We love you and we thank you. Guide us now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation, it'll be kind of an odd way of tying together two things, but I pray that the thought will come forth. Revelation 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, or on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Notice it says singular, the mystery. All right? So there's got to be something. This is the ending up of all things. This is the consummation. The book of Revelation is the ending up of all things. And we know that there's a great mystery to be brought forth in the last days. And we've probed at it, looked at it in different ways. We come down through the Baptist. We were talking about it last night, that we talked about the Gentiles being grafted in. We had those things. We studied those things as we were coming up through, but there's still a mystery left that would incorporate, as I don't know how the best way to say it, but would involve the whole one mystery to bring it forth. And that's why it says in the mystery, the singular. There's got to be one mystery. All right, it's finishing all of it up. Okay, now we go to Ephesians 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now, who's he talking to? You have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward. In other words, who was it? This is Paul. Remember, Paul said, you know, if you count it unworthily, lo, I turn to the Gentiles, and he went forth with the gospel. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. See, the mystery. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man. See, they didn't understand throughout the Old Testament. There was speaking of the Gentiles coming in, but they didn't understand how that it would be brought in. All right. And the Jews don't like that. But that's, Paul is covering this to them, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. And it is as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Who's going to bring it forth now? What is this mystery? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now I want you to bear with me for a second as to, try to get things in line. See, Paul spoke of here and spoke in Romans and bringing out the coming in of the Gentiles. That was a mystery. It was a mystery in the Old Testament that the Gentiles would come into, Gentiles as nations, people, us that were not Jews, and all like that. And see, there was a mystery that we would come into and receive the kingdom the same as the Jews had the kingdom. Now, it was made in the Bible was set forth to be brought to the Jews. They were, even the adoption, the scripture says, pertained to Israel. All of the things, the engraftings, the different things that happened, it all took place for Israel. They were the people of God, the children of God. All right? But see, all the way down through there, you had different things that spoke of it in one way or the other, types or shadows, speaking of a time coming that the Gentiles would come into the kingdom. All right? So they refused him, the Jews turned him down. And lo, he turned to the Gentiles through the Apostle Paul. And Paul's whole ministry turned to the Gentiles. And he brought the gospel to them of the mystery that he said is even spoken of back in the gospels. Things that happened, the Gentiles coming in, you find those things. David had 300 mighty men that could throw with a hair's breadth, and they were all Gentiles. They were back there at the times. The great warriors of faith, a lot of them in the Old Testament, were actually Gentiles, because they were the great warriors of faith. Okay. But it's not speaking, it was just speaking of something, a type or a shadow, as we were discussing last night. When you talk about types and shadows, remember that you're not talking of a thing into reality. You're speaking of something to come that is hidden, and it's all you're doing is exposing it or bringing it out in the open as to a type of it. In other words, something would happen back at David and his great warriors and the great thing would speak of the kingdom that would come in Jesus Christ. All right? See those things back in the gospel. All right? And in doing that, then it was speaking back there that the Gentiles would come in, and they did. They come in and accepted Jesus Christ, and he turned there, Paul did, to the Gentiles and bringing it, and you get in the gospels and the book of Acts, and it turns to where that the gospel goes to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews, because it was made to be for everyone. Right. See, that's why it's called a Gentile dispensation. Right. Gentile means nations. It doesn't have to have a name. In a Gentile dispensation, you can have Jews, Chinese, Koreans, anything, Africans or anything. You can have all of the people into that because it's a kingdom of the Gentiles, nations. All right. It's not no one certain people. It's not set aside to, well, it's this group of people. It's that group of people. It's open to where that you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior if you accept it that way and bring it in. And that's what we want to talk about for a minute, that there's a great mystery there. More than, if Paul was speaking of a mystery, but yet explaining it as to the coming in of the Gentiles, why would he not be satisfied with that? And why would he speak of a mystery? He would speak of a mystery and speak of it as the Gentiles coming in. You follow me? He would speak of the Gentiles coming into the kingdom to be the children of God. All right? And as he would speak of that, see, then he would put that to the basis to where that the coming in of the Gentile dispensation would open up to where everybody could come in. And he would know that. And see, that was known back there. But where's the mystery? Because still Paul left a mystery. He said, well, where did he leave? He left the mystery. Did it come all the way to Revelations 10? And it comes and brings it about a mystery. There's a mystery there that was sealed in the Word of God that was waiting till this day. And we say, well, it was the ingrafting of the Gentiles, you know. To come in. All right. That's wonderful. That's part of the mystery. That's truth. That's showing forth what it is. And it's types and shadows all the way through. And we can spend weeks and months upon the coming in of the Gentile dispensation and all the types and shadows of it. But the main point I want you to see is that after all is said and done, after all has been made known down through the Bible times, that there's still a mystery according to the book of Revelation. There's still a mystery. A mystery is something that is hidden and it has to be revealed. All right? Now we can look back, as I said, we can say, well, the coming in of the Gentiles. Well, that was the mystery. Yeah. That was what Paul spoke of. That was a mystery. And he was happy to be able to express those things and bring it out, you know, and deliver it to the people that it was his gospel. That he was chosen for that. Amen. See? And it's wonderful to know the position Paul was put in, because see, he was put into the position of understanding that mystery. Amen. And be able to express the mystery. All right. He could go back. The others couldn't do it. But once Paul got converted and turned to God with his whole heart, you think about all of that learning that he had within him. That was what he was trained to be, either a high priest or a lawyer or something. He was a high ranking man trained in all of the things, you know. All right. But one day he said, I just count all that dung to win Christ. All right. See, he just counted it all canceled out. But yet still he didn't quit. See, he didn't quit the thing because that was the kingdom. And he was trying to explain. Now listen, Paul was trying to explain to not the natural Jew of the coming in of the Gentiles.
Right. Amen.
I'm trying to make a mystery where you'll think about it of what it is. And then we'll come to our day and our time.
Okay.
You know. All right. See, Paul, he could explain the Gentiles coming in. After he explained it to them, then they could go back and look and say, yeah, I see that. Yeah, I see this. Yeah, that's what happened here. Yeah, David had all these mighty men and this, what, and the other. And see, Abraham himself was a Gentile. Well, so no, Abraham was a Jew. No, he wasn't. The word Jew never come into existence until you coming over to about Second Jude, somewhere in there. Jude. When you come into the book of Jude, you pick up the word Jew. Because Abraham was a Gentile. He was just a nation. It was a people. There was no set people at that time chosen to be set aside. That's what it come into Abraham to explain that of the coming in of the Jews to the point of being the children of God. All right? But see, are you following me then? See, here's the Apostle Paul. Now, he's explaining to the Jews. Now, not the natural Jew. He's not explaining to the natural Jew about the coming in of the Gentiles. He didn't have to. They wouldn't even believe it anyway. You understand what I'm getting at? They just laugh at Paul when he'd say, well, didn't you know that the Bible spoke of the coming in of the Gentiles? Man, what do you mean? We don't have no Gentiles in our group, you know. But see, here comes a mystery coming into view to the apostle Paul and him speaking to it, that the very people he was talking to was not the outcast Jew. Not the people out there. Right. It was the people that he was walking among.
Right.
Peter and them.
Yep.
See? The natural Jew was not what Peter, was not what Paul was trying to convert. He was not trying to convert the natural Jew to a Gentile dispensation. He knew better than that, but he was trying to bring a mystery that showed the Gentiles coming in was the great mystery that the Bible had spoken of, the great things that had been types and shadows all the way through, yes. All right. But he was trying to explain to the Jew, the spiritual Jew, now put it that way, to the children of Israel, not the natural children of Israel, but to the born-again Christians.
Amen.
Now are you picking it up?
Yes.
He was talking to born-again Christians.
Amen.
He was talking to the people of that day that was the bride of Christ.
Amen.
They couldn't understand why Paul would come up and he said, look. He said, all right. Y'all got this, you're doing it. But said, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. They didn't understand why he was doing those things. Because they couldn't see that it turned that way. They didn't all flock up and say, hey, let's go with Paul. Let's go with him and take it to the Jew, to the Gentiles, you know, the message of the Gentiles to the Jews. Let's take it and bring them all in. No? They actually said, Paul, you can take Barnabas or one of there, John Mark on one of them one time. And then finally he had to even turn away from them.
Yep.
See, everything Paul tried to do, if you understand what I'm getting at, everything he tried to do looked like it was a failure. Because he tried to bring to the Jews, the born-again Christians, the born-again Christian, not the natural Jew, not the natural, you know, Jew. He was trying to get the spiritual Jew to see what it is.
Amen.
Of the coming in of the dispensation of the Gentiles.
Amen.
Which would be nations. All right? You know, all right, forgive me for coughing, but I have to get that. I hope when they go through and cut in this shoulder, they find out what's wrong with my coughing. I'm not worried about my shoulder. Okay? My coughing is what I'm getting concerned about. But I can't help that. Alright. Are you picking up what I'm talking about? Why is it so a drastic thing that here's Paul pulling away from the Jew of the born-again Christians?
Yep, sure.
That was who he was constantly fighting and trying to explain. He was trying to explain to the born-again Christian. He wasn't trying to explain to the natural Jew about a Gentile's coming in. They didn't listen to him anyway. It was the people he was preaching to. It was the people that were supposed to have been accepting him. But instead, they turn away from him. They walk away, and Paul said, okay, you count yourself unworthy of the gospel. Who's he talking to? Come on, get the story. He's not talking to the natural Jew, Caiaphas and all of those others. They had done turned it all down. So he turns to the Gentiles and he turns back looking to the Jews and he says, you count yourself unworthy. What do you mean? You count yourself unworthy of the gospel. And they were the ones that was trying to preach the gospel. And he said, you count yourself unworthy. He said, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. I'll go to a people that will accept it. And that's what it done. And that was Paul's problem until the day that he died. He never could go back to those Jews and join back in with them and be in constant fellowship. And every time he went around them, he was in trouble. With the natural spiritual, the born again Christians. Are you listening? Come on, get the background, get the story into your mind. Paul was not trying to convert Caiaphas and this one and that one, all of the natural Jew. He was not trying to do that. He was trying to get to those people that claimed they were a part of the body of Christ. And the more he preached, the harder it got. A mystery is going on. A great mystery that mankind could never follow. Sure, we followed it. That's what I'm saying. I'm not throwing no stone to the back. That's where I came from. That's what I'm saying it. We taught the engrafting of the Gentiles. We taught to bring it in. We taught engrafting, where you put one of them and engraft into the other. And they never could get it straight because I tried to get them to people to see that back then. The same as I do now. If you're going out to graft into a wild olive tree and a tame olive tree, you don't want the tame olive tree to be in the ground. You want the wild olive tree put into the ground where the tame can be engrafted in and it can come forth and produce. Because if you don't, the roots are going to die. And come on, church, our roots are Jewish. That was the one thing Paul couldn't get them to understand. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Paul was trying to get them to see that their roots were Jewish. That was what was spoke of all the way down through there and bringing it forth. But they couldn't see it. They couldn't follow it. They were looking at their own selves. And no matter if they were even born again Christians. And I'm not saying that they wouldn't get my point. He was trying to speak to those. And finally it just got to the point, he just had to leave. And he says, you count yourself unworthy of the gospel. He said, I'm turning to the Gentiles. And you know what he became? The first church age messenger. You know, at Ephesus.
Amen.
You know what he became? From the great apostle Paul came the writing of the New Testament. Right?
Amen.
You got Peter, one little book about it. You got John, one. You got one of the others, you got a half a dozen of the rest of them, and here's the Apostle Paul bringing the entire gospel out into the open.
Amen.
He had a mystery. He knew why he was called, and he knew why they couldn't understand him. But see, I don't think you're getting what I'm trying to bring forth. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul was actually trying to tell the Christians. He was preaching to Peter and James and John and all of the Christians. And here they turn so much against him until he has to just leave. And all he was doing was trying to preach one thing, the engrafting of the Gentiles. But he was trying to bring it the way that the Scripture was bringing it. That it would be a mystery. That mankind would never be able to follow that mystery. He said, oh, yeah, we understand the engrafting of the Gentiles. We understand this. We understand that about... Do we? Okay. Trying to get this to thought. Just think about what I'm trying to bring. I didn't mean to go this way, but that's all right. I didn't know I was going this way. Yeah. You probably wonder which way I'm going. Okay. I'm trying to get you to see one thing. When you're dealing with a mystery, just remember, you're dealing with a supernatural element that is sealed to mankind. Right? That whole Bible is sealed to mankind and could not be understood until the last days. Then according to Revelation 10, there would be a mighty angel come forth. Now, Brother Branham explains that, so you do what you want to with it. He said that mighty angel was the same as Revelation 1. That wasn't Brother Branham. That's not that mighty angel. The mighty angel there, he said, was Revelation 1. He said, it's the same now. So you do, you know, I'm not trying to be derogatory to anybody, but I'm trying to put it in truthful line to where we can understand. That prophet, when he brought his message, he was doing fine through up and down in the town. He understood the engrafting of the Gentile. He understood the teachings of adoption and the things that he was bringing forth. But then one day, it wound up being another book come into view, or a book came into view, a book that would be a mystery. A mystery. And it would be called the mystery. Because it would seal up the whole Bible in the mystery. You say, well, what are you talking about? The mystery. How long have I been preaching on Hebrews 11:40? That they without us cannot be made perfect. Now, it's been about seven, eight messages. Trying to get you to see a point. That they... The Apostle Paul was putting everybody in the, now may I say it in the right way, everybody that was in the religious realm would be related to Hebrews 11:40. There would be a great mystery that we'd be able to understand. Why the Apostle Paul said, they without us cannot be complete. Because see, there was a mystery. What is the mystery? Who's God waiting on? Oh. We've put a couple of messages and emphasized it very heavily that your prophet said that God was waiting on me and you.
Right.
Amen. Yeah, but I thought we was waiting on him. Well, see, that's where we think we got it figured out. And that's a good truth. That's fine. You're waiting on him to tell you to do and all. That's right. But when it come to the prophet one day, what did he say? He said, don't cry no more. He said, speak and go forward. Stop your sniffling like a baby. Get up and say it and move forward. And preach the mystery that you come to bring. What's Brother Branham's ministry? When did it begin? Not in the 40s. That was return of the faith of the fathers. Right? Come on, he said, not in years of preparation. Come on, do I need to go over it and over it? He said, not in years of preparation, but said when he begins to sound. See, then the prophet there in 63, right into that period of time, 2 and 3, as he begins to go into it, what's he doing? He's preaching. What's he preaching? Revelation's 10. That in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, that there'd be a mystery that would be made known. A mystery that would be made known. And he says, Revelations 10 is the same as Revelations 1, 13, right in there. Where it says, you've seen one standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And Brother Brown says, that's the same as Revelations 1, 13. I believe 13, right? Forever 13. What mystery was there in the scripture there? What mystery was laying in the scriptures that no light had ever shined on? Is that the way he describes it? He describes a dream or something of a man in a pyramid mountain and taking a bar and whipping off the top and looking down in, and he said there's things down in there that light had never shined on. Now he knows what he's come to do. As he says in Spoken Word's original seed, he gets over into his message and he's bringing it out. And he says, as of yet, Malachi 4 is not fulfilled. You remember that? There he's standing bringing the message and he declares, as of yet, Malachi 4 is not fulfilled. So there was a great mystery. This message is a mystery. You can't explain it to nobody. It can only be revealed. It can't be explained. There's no way to explain this message. You say, oh, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, okay, wonderful. But remember, that was in the Bible. The Baptists could read that. But it didn't mean they could understand it. You and I could read it where we were at, but it didn't mean we could understand it. But in the days of the seventh angel, in his time of his ministry, there would be a great mystery.
Amen.
I hope you understand, especially to you that have been in the message for quite a while, of what I'm trying to explain. I know it's clicking. I know it's hitting, and you need to think about it. But see, there's a mystery that light had never shined on until this day. And the prophet's message began there in the 60s, in the 62, 63. He tells you, rapture message and things. Not in the years of preparation, but said when he began to sound. You say, oh, his message was back there in the 40s. No, that wasn't his message. That was the faith of the fathers. That was what their disciples had already preached. That's what he says. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Or at least trying to tell you the truth? You see, until this end time, there was a great mystery sealed up in the Bible. But if you ask now, you ask the religious world what that mystery was, it was the engrafting of the Gentiles. They could tell you that, that it was the engrafting or the bringing in of the Gentiles into the kingdom. But see, Paul was trying to explain that. About AD 40, 50, right in there somewhere. He was trying to explain what was taking place. That is, as in type, it says your kingdom is going to be taken from you and given to the Gentiles.
That's right, man.
The Gentiles would accept the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And as it would be a great mystery, a great time. What is the mystery? The mystery is who's God's waiting on. Come on. Who's God waiting on? The prophet said he's waiting on me and you. Is that a problem? To know that he's waiting on us? Well, what are we supposed to do? Just what I've tried to preach for 10 or 15 sermons. We're supposed to try to bring this message to the point that it will draw everything to the message.
Right. Amen.
Right. Right. See, they without us cannot be made perfect.
Amen.
You realize that Paul, listen. So you can say, well, okay, it was a time that Paul went off and died, then he become one of us. That's fine, but that ain't the point.
That's right.
That ain't the point.
Right.
The point is Paul said that there was going to be a group of people that would bring forth the gospel in the correct order. And fulfill the mystery of the entire Bible and bring a rapture.
That's right.
You see, did Paul say that? Well, what do you think he's talking about?
Right.
Because you're not listening. See, Paul was talking to born-again Christians.
Amen.
Trying to get born-again Christians to see that all of those people, Hebrews 11, were great warriors of faith, great times and all. But none of them had come to the place that the world be waiting on them. But Paul stood there in a group and said, they're waiting on us. God said they're waiting on us. See? To do what? To complete or finish or bring the message to a position that we could believe it. See, the world is waiting on you and me. No, it's waiting on this, waiting on... God's waiting on me and you to step out on what we got. What do you think he's waiting on? Well, he's waiting on it. No, he's waiting on that. He's waiting on this to do that. He's waiting on that. You can try to come up with all of your ideas of got to, this has got to happen, that's got to happen. But why not just say what the prophet said? Why not say it that way? And see what we can do with it. Let's take a few. Okay? Go ahead, number one, brothers. Pull it up. message, See Jesus, 1962. Pull it on up. You can read what's in between the Trump and the different thing. As the church, like the pyramid, comes into a point. So as the church in the days of Luther, days of Wesley, days of Pentecostal, he never rejected none of those.
No, I
wish that would finally get into the mind of the people. Big great men, he was down at Gill's when we were eating together, and he said, them Pentecostals, they didn't have nothing. I said, Brother Brown said they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, oh, they didn't have nothing. And see, a lot of you sat right here that night and heard him say it again right here. Of course, it was the big name guy. I told him twice that he was wrong. Of course, you know what he thought of me. That's all right. I don't have a problem. I ain't trying to be nothing. I was just trying to tell him what the prophet said, because this is what I was telling him. And just before the headstone comes into it, that church now, not Brother Branham, get that. We're going to lay it flat like that. You say the world's waiting on Brother Branham. Show me that in the Bible. I'll show you where he's at in the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is what God is waiting on. So now, if you don't want to take it that way, then just misunderstand me about what I'm saying. He's in the body of Christ. Without him, we can't be made perfect, because he's in the body of Christ. But he's waiting on us to come now to the right place, because listen to him. Now, just before the headstone comes into it, that church has to be honed so perfect till the same ministry that he did here, his same spirit, so predominant, however you pronounce that word, will bring that same body right into it and resurrect the whole thing. What? Something's going to happen and resurrect the whole thing? What's it going to be? Go ahead to the next one. Standing in the gap. But the cap on the pyramid is never put on. I've been to Cairo and everything, okay? Because it was a cornerstone. It was a headstone. In the church, it was the cornerstone. Because that's the foundation of apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Okay, come on. We got the scriptures, right? In the church was the cornerstone. In the full church, it was the headstone. So it never did come. It was rejected, Christ. And it will come.
Amen.
And I believe that when it's coming, that the church will shape into a place from justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, Pentecostal message, will bring the church to such a minority, and a ministry will be among those people till it'll be exactly the same ministry that Jesus Christ did. That'll bring Christ and catch the whole thing away. The same ministry. Huh? The same ministry.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ had has got to be here. But where? In the church.
Amen.
Now come on, church. I'm not trying to be derogatory to anybody. I never have been, and I've always been accused of it. I never have. I've always told you what I believe. I've never been backed off from you or anything. I'll tell you what I believe. We've had a message to come to bring us the revelation of Jesus Christ. But you and I have got to be the message.
Amen.
That's all I've ever preached. That's all I've ever believed. That's all I've ever taught. That you and I have got to be the message.
That's right.
Huh? So then everything's dependent upon you and me. I hope that's fallen true. Everything's dependent upon the little bride of Christ.
Amen.
To become the Word. Yeah, but I just don't see Jesus. Open your eyes.
Amen.
Do this for me. Wade goes to point out, going back this way. You know, he could use that point like that. I want you to use a point like this. Just stop breathing for a second. Just hold your breath. You hold it for a whole second, don't you? You can't even, you think you held it for a minute there. They ain't a person in this building can hold your breath for 1 minute. I challenge you. You say, yes, I can. Let's see you try it. See, you think in a half of a minute, you done win a whole minute. It ain't. Get your watch and try to find out. I'm silly. I know that, but I'm just trying to make a point. See, the world is waiting on you and I. It's waiting on the body of Christ, and Brother Branham is in the body of Christ. No problem. I've always taught it that way because I've always believed it that way. Brother Branham is in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not complete without him. So you think I'm derogatory, throwing off on you. No, I'm trying to tell the truth. But tell it to you as a mystery. Because that's the mystery. How are you going to get the people of this message to believe it? That the bride is what God is waiting on. That's what he says. Come on. Go ahead to the next one. Watchman. What of the night? No signal. Okay. I'll read till I get it up. But what's he doing? He's reflecting the same light of the sun that went down years ago and is rising again. What is that true church's ministry? Now, what is the true church's ministry? What is the true church's ministry? The ministry that the church will be the ministry of the Son, because it is a reflection of the same sun power and the same sunlight that the world would know when the sun rises what it'll look like. What about it? The same ministry is what we're supposed to be concerned with. Yeah, but I just don't see it. There's people out here, they do this, they do that. That's all right. I'm looking for one thing like we did last night. Brother Ryan asked a question about it and said, how does it turn out to be? And the very first question was Wade answered it. Somebody else has answered it. There was like three answers come forth at one time. Said, it's the word. What is the answer? The word. What is the word?
Right.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
That's the word. What is that? That's the mystery that's been hid.
Amen.
It's a hidden mystery that people can't see it as in the church. But that's what your prophet said it would be.
Right.
Right. Okay, go ahead. What about it? Now, it's not the church. It's the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Son of God. That's reflecting in the church. That's proving his power. He's doing exactly the same thing. The same ministry he did when he left the earth. He's here tonight doing the same thing, reflecting his coming. You say, well, I was in Brother Brown. Amen. I got no problem. He said he was talking about himself. Amen. I ain't got no problem.
Right. No.
He said he's here.
Amen.
He was there doing it. But did it stop when he left?
No.
I thought it was supposed to went into the body of Christ.
Right.
Maybe Paul knew what he was talking about back there.
Mm-hmm.
He's here tonight doing the same thing. Reflecting his coming. Reflecting what? Not the paleness of the moon, but reflecting the same signs, what comes to pass. Not the moon, the star of the moon, or star of the hires, but the coming of the sun. What is it? How about it? Go ahead to the next one. Let me get a few, then we'll quit. The same ministry that the sun went down in, The same light he went down in is coming again in the resurrection power. And the morning star is reflecting that light. When we cry, watchman, what of the night? What about it? What about it? Could it be that we do like the people back there? And I hope you understand what I was saying. Those people back there were the born-again Christians of the day. But they couldn't understand Paul. Why did he leave the leave the Jews? When he knew they were the people of God. But he's seen they turned it down. Right? They were claiming Jesus Christ to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Paul was saying, you're turning it down. He said, you count yourself unworthy of the very gospel. Whose gospel? The gospel he'd been trying to preach. And he said, I turned to the Gentiles. I'll just go with them. What about it? Have we taken it in the right way? The same ministry. The same ministry Christ had in his church is in his church tonight. Go ahead, that's number four. The unconditional covenant. The same way, the same ministry Christ had is in his church tonight. Same sign, same wonder, same spirit, same kind of works that Jesus did here on earth. The church has to do the same thing. Now, does somebody want to read that? You want to read that next verse or you want to leave it out? Because when I read it, you'll be wanting to leave it out. If it's not here, he's saying the same signs, the same wonders, the same spirit, same kind of works that Jesus did here on earth, the church has to do the same thing. If it's not, it is not the seed of Abraham. It's not the church of Jesus Christ. Can't be. Let's read. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yeah. Well, now, in a way, Brother Run said, now, there's no such thing as saying in a way now. Come on, get that off. Well, Brother Dale, you're against this. I've never been against nothing. I stand for where I stand, and I've always stood on one thing. And I've never changed my thoughts. Are you looking for Brother Branham to come back? Yes, sir. But I'm also looking for all the born-again Christians to come. So I don't have no problem. Is Brother Branham coming first? That's fine with me. I don't have no problem. But if the bride don't come forth, she's not the children of Abraham. That's just what we read. You see, that a way you can say and stand like I have for 50 years and said, I declare it. I'm a firm believer in a return ministry, not the kind that other people's got. I'm a firm believer in a return ministry. I'm a firm believer in the Apostle Paul standing on this earth one day. And I'm a firm believer in Brother Branham standing on this earth. What takes place, that's up to him and God. We shouldn't even have any discussion about it. That's where I've always stood. I was asked that question, and I said, made the statement then that I make now. If Brother Branham come right out here in front of this building and preached a service, most of you would not know what he's saying. Uh-oh. See, there's where I go, and you get your feelings hurt. Because, you see, I just took it off of anything of thinking about Brother Branham. I just took it all and put it right in our own lap. Because that was the statement I made. If Brother Branham come right out here in front of this building, you wouldn't know what he's talking about. Why? Because you don't know what he's talking about. I hope a sister don't get mad at us. You know. We were discussing something last night in the Bible. And I wonder how many of you beside that person would even admit to it. Where did they get the gold? Where did they get the gold to make the golden calf? How many of you remember scripturally where they got it from? Right? Where did they get it? They got it from the men and the women that were the children of Israel that was wanting the gold calf. Right? See, most people don't even know that. You mean the children of Israel? The children of Israel wore earbobs, earrings and bracelets and all kind of things. And when it got time to be needed, Aaron said, get me all the gold you can get. And they just took all that out of their ears and all around their necks and everything and went and laid it down. And that's what was all life and last night. How many remember what the Bible said? When Moses got back over there, he said, Aaron, what took place? Aaron said, now you know these people, and you know how hard-hearted they are. He said, you know their ideas and their things. And said, Moses said, Aaron, what'd you do? He said, all I done was just took them earrings and gathered them up in a pot and dumped them over the fire and said, out jumped a calf. What the Bible says. Out jumped a calf. You say, well, I didn't know they had earrings and things. Well, you ought to read your Bible. Yeah, but I thought earrings was when you put them in your ears. Yeah, there's places to put them, but you don't need to do it. You know, so how many men have them in your nose? What are you shaking your head for, Brother Joe? He did shake his head. Okay. Hooks in your nose. Boy, they ain't in mine. I don't know. Trying to make your life where you back off from being so set on me in such a hard way. Because listen, church. If you understand what I'm getting at, the great apostle Paul had to leave them born again Christian Jews. Those that he was a part of to bring out and get a dividing and started. He had to walk away from them and go to the Gentiles. Because he said, you don't understand. You're still like Aaron that can take a bunch of gold and throw it in a pot and out jumps a calf. That was what Moses had to put up with. You know what I think about? And I'm still talking about me and you, okay? I think about poor old Brother Branham and what he had to put up with. Trying to get the message to the people. And all they could do was, should a woman wear a garment pertaining to a man? What should we do, you know? What? Real quiet, isn't it? Because you know it's the truth that he couldn't get the people to see what he's talking about. Okay. Know that the same pillar of fire that led Israel, we know that the same ministry that accompanied Jesus Christ by that pillar of fire that had him anointed is accompanying the church today. Pull that up. That's number six. It's accompanying the church today.
Amen.
The same pillar of fire.
Yep.
But yet we don't see it. You know, all we can see. There was a brother here years ago. He, two or three different times, he said, there's a pillar of fire floating around the pulpit. I said, don't get into that. I said, don't get all tied up in it. Let it alone. He said, but Brother Dale said, I've seen it two or three times. Said, it's a halo, a pillar of fire. Said, it just floats around the pulpit. Well, nobody didn't want to talk about it. But you know what he said? He said, I saw it again the other day, Brother Dale. And he said, it left here at the pulpit and went down through the congregation. Two brothers jumped up. That's what it is. He's leaving the church. We better go with him. I said, go with him all you want to. I'm staying here. Because I'm declaring that he ain't leaving the building. I'm declaring one thing that I declared last night, and I've always declared it. My goal, my whole life of everything that I've ever had, is to get you to see Jesus Christ for your own personal experience. And I don't mean this wrong and derogatory. Not Brother Branham's experience. Your own personal experience. Because if you'll see your own personal experience, you don't have to worry about his experience. You'll automatically know where it's at. I'm not trying to be derogatory against anybody who believes in Brother Branham returning or anything. I've always told it like it is. I've never backed off from it. I've just always been plain. There's pictures downstairs that we've got of pictures of people that have passed away. Brother Branham's picture's in there. I want to see him as 18, 20 years old. I don't want to see him 50 years old. I don't want to see Brother Tatum and Sister Tatum in their old age. I don't want to see Brother Moulton and Sister Violet. I want to see them as I remembered them. Because then I'll know who they are. Then I'm looking for Jesus Christ. The same ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ had has got to be here. I can still keep reading to you. How much do you want? The same ministry has got to be here. If it's not here, we're not the children of Abraham. If it's not here, where are we? Yeah. You know, this is the one I like. Pull it on over to number 9. Number 8, stop on that one. From Christ, the mystery of God revealed, then the bride body must follow the head, for it is part of his resurrection and part of the mystery. It's impossible for it not to go. It's part of his threefold mystery. Revelation 10, mystery. The bride is part of the mystery and must be revealed. Don't you fail. The body, therefore, cannot recognize any other headship but the Word. Number 9. Put it up. See, if you were in the foreknowledge of God, let me make sure. You were in the foreknowledge of God, then you're becoming a part of God. And the only way you can be a son of God or a daughter of God, you had to be a part of God, and God isn't complete without you. Do you believe that? He's not complete without you. Well, I just don't believe it. Well, okay, see, then you're not part of him. I saw that. You're not the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham would say amen. The prophet said he's not complete without you and me. Amen. Because we're part of him. Because once he gave you the new birth, that makes you and God one. I know, I believe it was Brother Branham and God one. Like a brother told me. He said, this message of the third pool and the speaking of the word is only for Brother Branham and the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to get his Bible and tear out a few pages. Oh, that's sarcastic. No, it's truthful. Man told me one time, he said, the gifts and the things according to, well, what is it, Corinthians 13? He said, that ought to be took out of the Bible. I said, give it to me. He said, what? I said, give me your Bible. I said, I'll take it out. Boy, he didn't let me have that Bible because I was going to rip it out. I ain't being sarcastic. If it ain't in there, if it ain't worth nothing, tear it out. No. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, there's a place for everything. Okay, come on, musicians. Come on. Think on these things. The same ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ had. We know and believe it. Some of you sat and saw it. You saw the very signs and wonders to prove that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You saw the dead raised, the sick healed, the great things. Did that die when the prophet went off the scene? I don't believe it. But I believe he's waiting on me and you. I believe God is waiting on me and you, the prophet said. Adoption time, where God can pour into us his fullness and the baptism and fill every fiber of our being and take us into rapture. Is that a hard thing to understand? No. It's understanding the truth. If I said something too offensive to you about what I've said about it, just remember I've said this all the whole time, so there couldn't be meaning it to you. You think I am, but it's not, because I've taught this for 40 years. I hadn't changed in what I've taught in 40 years. If I have, come show me. No, I still believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And I still believe he's right here tonight. I mean today. Waiting on me and you to believe him. Because he's waiting on us. Go ahead, brother. What we got? Anybody have a need and then we'll go.
Let's stand. Once my heart and soul were fettered.
What about it? Do you believe him to be the same? Demon that's bothering our brother's stomach. In Jesus' name. Go. Go and say it and believe it. Father, we send these prayers. sister, whatever happens, the need she has, we believe you. By your stripes, the person's healed, or whatever it is, whatever it takes place, it's all in you, and we believe you. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Do you believe it? Statement. He said, God is not complete without you. I said, I want to keep that one. Not that all of them ain't real good. It's just some of them are a little more valuable, I guess you'd call it. Because I believe it. You see, church, we don't have to depend upon what somebody else says. We depend upon what God says. And God will use others to speak to us. He has. Thank God that He has given us a message. Thank God that we have it. That we can read and study and follow the message. Oh, how wonderful. All of the things. Father, we just ask you to go with us now as we go our separate ways and just give each one of us understanding of you, Lord. Forgive our sins and just let your light shine. If we said anything that was contrary, we just ask you to forgive us and cover us. But to know for one thing for sure, Lord, that you know we've always believed you. We've always put it that we're waiting upon you. But your prophet said now you're waiting on us. So help us. It's not for us to step out and to do great things. We don't have to. We just have to stand on what you believe and what you tell us. And you'll make it manifest. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You dismiss. Remember the service this evening.